Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This afternoon, at the ordination of Simeon James Cornwell, we will sing a hymn by one of my favorite hymnists, the Lutheran hymn writer and pastor, Paul Gerhardt, also one of my favorite hymns, I Will Sing My Maker's Praises. I didn't even have to ask Simeon. He picked it on his own. The fourth stanza of the hymn is great for us today because it brings up the story of the prodigal son. It says this, as a father, ever yearning, longing to be reconciled, seeks the prodigal's returning, loving still the wayward child. So, my sins and errors find a tender, pardoning God, chastening frailty with his rod, not in vengeance with his terrors. All things else have but their day. God's great love abides for aye. Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me. The young, impetuous son comes to his father and essentially says to him, you know, I wish you were dead. Major insult. Whether the father granted the request or not, the son would have been shunned by the rest of the community. The household of slaves, hired hands, family, villagers, everyone would have been rightly ticked off at this young boy. But he knew exactly what he was asking for. He was cutting off all relationships with family and community. Here the son not only asks for his share of the inheritance, but then he goes on, he sells it off, his share, and he takes the proceeds, and he goes off and lives away in a far-off country. He essentially declares by his actions and deeds that he can live without them all, that family, that community, that they might as well all be dead as far as he is concerned. The amazing thing about the father at this point in the story is that he grants the boy's request. He shows unbelievable love and patience. He allows his son to take it, sell it, go. He loves his son so much, he will allow him even to insult him and his ability and gives him the ability to reject the love and care of his father. The boy is totally lost. He is dead even to his father, to his brother, to his extended family and community. Mammon became the new father of this boy. Money, the idol he bows down to and lives for. He is a family unto himself. He lives only for himself. And of course, that is to have no family at all. Think about today. For too long, our culture and our way of life has devalued the family and overvalued independence. Fathers and mothers conceive children, but then there is no husband and wife to parent them. One or both parties would rather remain independent and uncommitted, and the children left in the lurch to suffer consequences. And it's not just out there. God-fearing Christian families fall for this. Sons, daughters, overeager to get out of the house, strike out on their own, be free of the rules and norms of living under one roof as a family. Fathers and mothers think, hey, parenting days are over. Junior has gone off to college. Junior's got his or her own job now. Being empty nesters is even celebrated by some. We're finally rid of the burden of our children. Children leave the home too often and feel no responsibility to look after the welfare of their aging parents. In the worst case, and I see this as a pastor, children have hard feelings towards their parents and refuse to care or love them. But just leave me in the will, even though I wish you were dead. We do need to watch how we talk and how we act as families. There are the extremes, of course, to avoid. And there are circumstances sometimes that break apart a family that can't be avoided. There are those disasters and unexpected, unplanned, and unexplained things that happen. But as fathers and mothers, we all should ask ourselves, do we every day value God's gift to us of the blessing of our children? And as children of parents, do we honor, esteem, and serve and obey them, even when we don't live under the same roof as them? The problem of being lost sons, self-righteous and self-serving, is nothing new. The problem of fathers and mothers failing to look out for their children, nothing new. It's the story of Adam, the first man, and the whole human race he fathered. Adam rejected his role as the created child of God, as husband and head of his family, defender of his wife, and instead allowed himself and his wife to fall for it, to lust for it, to reach out, to take which was not theirs to take. They and all their children, you and me included, are by nature lost, condemned, without hope. We're stuck in that far-off land, wallowing amongst the pigs. It's not our true home. Remember, the angel ran them out of the garden and barred the way back in. Ever since, we've not been home. Now, in this temporal wandering away from home, there are things that happen. You might wallow in your sinful condition and totally reject God's fatherhood, as the lost son does in the parable for a time. Or you might come around and feel the chastening rod of the law, its terrors in famine and desperation, maybe more like this, a hurting conscience, grief, despair, simply longing for that better homeland than this one. And as the lost son eventually does feel that. Whatever the case, some return home in regret, and they seek to try to pay back that father. Sorry, they say, like the boy really is in the parable. I got caught out. I was wrong, but only because I lost what I idolized. And as we learn in catechism class, that is not repentance, that's regret. There is no smoothing things over with God in heaven. There is no making up for that which you've done wrong, no repairing what you've broken on your own and by your own efforts. Lost sons may think they have something to offer their father back home like the prodigal does, but they do not. The parable tells us this is true. Before the son arrives, the father is looking for him. The father sees him coming. The father feels compassion for his son. He runs to him. He embraces him. He kisses him. The father doesn't even allow the son to ask to make up for what is wrong. It's not even a question. Where the son had rejected his father totally, wishing never to see him again, the father keeps watch and hopes for his son to return. Where the son felt no love for his father, wished him dead, the father has compassion. Where the son ran away from his father, the father runs out to meet him. The son severed ties with his father. The father restores his son to the family and to the community, embraces, kisses him, shows them all that the son is forgiven and still to be accepted. There's no repayment possible, none asked for from this father. He merely accepts the son at face value because he's family. His forgiveness of the son is pure grace, mercy. The son is reclothed in the signs of his father. Robe, ring, shoes. They slaughter the fattened calf. Everyone celebrates. Well, almost. He was dead but is alive again. He was lost and is found. He has been found. It's not a hopeless situation for you or for the sons of this world. Repent and return home to your baptism into Christ. If you're not baptized, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. God has home for you here. Depend and trust on his mercy and grace. You have a patient, forgiving, gracious, and merciful Heavenly Father who seeks you and finds you and accepts you where you are as his child on account of his son. Be reconciled and restored to him without price. God desires to cast your sins into the depths of the sea and forget them. The Heavenly Father has sent his own son, Jesus, who came down into this foreign land, took the place of that prodigal, suffered in your place. The shame and eternal ruin that was the prodigal's became that of Jesus. He took upon himself our rejection, our covetousness, our lust and our idolatry, our flesh, our lost and dead condition, and he bore them to the cross. And there he freely ate the bitter pods of death and hell. And there the innocent one died to destroy the sins of the prodigal human race and restore us to being true sons of his Father and to open the way back home to God in heaven. The same Lord Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. He who once was dead is alive. He who became lost for our sakes is now found at the right hand of the Father. And he rules over his church, and he's found at altar and pulpit and font with love for you, to find you and to give you his forgiveness. Let us pray. Since there's neither change nor coldness, O Lord, in your love that on me smiled, I now lift my hands in boldness, coming to you as your child. Grant me grace, O God, I pray you, that I may with all my might, all my lifetime, day and night, love and trust you and obey you. And when this brief life is over, praise and love you evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.